Welcome to Real Estate Investing for Women. On this show, you will learn how to create wealth through real estate the blissful way. That means with very little stress and very little time. We talk about strategies, mindset, heart set, money smarts, resources, and so much more to ensure you're able to create the success you most deeply desire. Now, here's your host, Monica Sawyer.
Hi there, ladies. Happy International Women's Day. Yay! Today is a day to celebrate how amazing all of you are and what we're capable of and moving forward to our amazing greatness. And so I wanted to celebrate today by sharing a conversation I had last week on March 4th with a bunch of amazingly successful real estate investors regarding how they deal with the imposter syndrome. I feel like so many of us are so incredible. We're so extraordinary. I mean, all of us are extraordinary in our own way. And yet, we often allow the imposter syndrome to get in the way of us becoming our very best selves. So during this conversation, we actually did this live on Clubhouse. So we got a lot of people on there talking. And we really shared our insights into what imposter syndrome looks like for us. Surprisingly, it looks a little bit different for everybody. So what it looks like, how we deal with it, and you know, I even talked a little bit about how I use it to propel myself forward. So here's the conversation. I hope you really, really love it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's Clubhouse room. We're so excited that you're here. And today we're going to be talking about the imposter syndrome. And I know that I talked to a few of you already, which is exactly why you're here, because so many of us have the imposter syndrome. As a matter of fact, Monique Helm, who hosts a mastermind, we had a conversation very recently that every single one of us women in the mastermind actually has that experience. They have a relationship with the imposter syndrome. So we just thought, well, if we're all feeling it, everybody must be feeling it. And so it would be great for to have a conversation about. So Monique, did you want to start a little bit about, right, my first question for everybody is really, what is imposter syndrome to you? And like, how does it affect your life?
Okay. Well, first I'll introduce myself for those who don't know me yet. I am Monique. I'm founder of Real Estate Investor Goddesses, and I'm an investor. Mostly I do syndication, so I bring groups of investors together to purchase larger properties. And it is an incredibly male-dominated world, as is much of real estate investing. Even more so, I think, when you're talking about these larger commercial deals. And I have a very intimate relationship with imposter syndrome, you know, just being a woman of color. And, there's always this sense of, I really don't know enough. I really don't know what I'm doing exactly. You know, I'm just like, they're going to find out really soon. And damn, then what's going to happen? This imposter syndrome for me is just feeling, you know, that you're not actually worthy to be there. You're not really qualified enough. You don't know enough. You're not yet good enough. And even though you've been invited to the table, you know, there's a sense that, soon somebody's going to find out the truth. that's what it's like for me.
Nice. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for being so candid about that, Monique. I think it's hard for people to admit that they feel that, right? So thank you so much for that. Ladies, I see that go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say too, especially somebody who, and you know, you and Deborah and I, we all have communities of women, who are interested in real estate investing, and especially as a leader, right? It can be an extra sense of, ooh, I in particular really need to know what I'm doing, right? And like, and who am I to to lead this group, right? Like, who the F am I to do this, right?
Absolutely.
I get that a lot. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that, because you're right. Like, and all of us are leaders in areas of our lives, and people that are specifically leaders in a particular like core skill set, you want to feel like you're the very best, and you, it's hard to admit that. So yes, Monique, thank you so much for that vulnerability. So before we move on to Deborah, I just want to say welcome to, is it Shayna? And ladies, I wanted to invite you to invite others into the conversation. So many women struggle with the imposter syndrome. People that you would not expect are suffering from that, right? Like Monique just talked about. I don't know that it's suffering, but sort of dealing with that, right? So if you know anybody who would benefit from this conversation, I'm going to show you now how to invite other ladies into the room. So what you do is you go down to the bottom of your screen, you'll see a little plus sign. So you push the little plus sign, and then you just kind of tap on anybody who wants to who you would like to invite into the room, and their you'll get a little check mark that shows that they've been invited. So invite some ladies in the room that would benefit from this conversation. And then the other thing I just wanted to mention is that building community, especially with us women, is such a big deal. So if you go ahead and take a look at each other's profiles and connect, follow and friend each other so that you can stay connected. And then also we do these Clubhouse meetings once a week at noon on Thursdays. So if you follow us, you will be notified when that Clubhouse is starting so that you can be invited in. Anyway, so I just wanted to say that. Monique, was that clear enough about how to invite people in?
Yes, totally.
Okay, perfect.
I'm doing that now.
Yay, okay, awesome. Okay, great. Deborah, why don't you come to the stage or unmute and tell us a little bit about yourself for those of us that don't, or those who are in the room that don't know you, and then also talk a little bit about what imposter syndrome means to you.
Thank you guys for being here and being my fellow imposters.
Right?
I totally identified with everything Monique said. My name is Deborah Razzo, and I'm the founder of the Women's Real Estate Network and a real estate investor. And, I too believe like Monique, like, I'm the leader. I should know what's happening and, where we're going and be able to steer the ship. And, so many times I feel like, I don't know. And unfortunately I feel the same way in real estate. I'm continually having to prove to myself that I can do this. Right. And I look at my past and I think, okay, you did this and you did this. Okay, you just keep going. You can do it. But one of the things that I'm really realizing is that, what Monique said about I don't know enough. So a little background on that. I was reorganizing some of my, desktop stuff. And I looked at all the courses that I'm enrolled in and I thought, oh my God, why am I enrolled in so many courses, right? Like it's crazy. And I feel I should continually be in training. Now, growth is definitely a big personal want and need of mine, but I feel like part of it is like, I do feel like an imposter, like, okay, I just need to know more. I need to have the answers. And I think it affects me that way. So, there you go. There's my share.
Oh my God.
I'm all out
I
there.
I can totally relate to that. Like I just need more programs. I am such a personal and professional development junkie. I just don't know enough. Just if I have this extra training or mentor with this person.
And I would say, I'll get up at 5 and read that, like it's like, okay.
Absolutely. And ladies, you know, so I'm going to invite some people to the stage. Karen's here. Yay. Michelle is here. Yay. I just want to remind you when you come and say hello to please, or when you come to the stage, please keep yourself on mute. And then of course, as soon as I can get to you, I will get to you. But Karen, that was the only reason I sent you back, is because you weren't muted and we were getting a bunch of background noise. So I will bring you back on. Okay. But just come on mute. Alrighty. So I'm going to do that. And I just want to say this whole thing about continuing education, right? Like, we all do this, and I think that it's really important. I think it's important that we do it, that we continue to educate ourselves. But I love how you talked about the intent, Deborah and Monique, about, like, it's not just that I want to get educated and that I want to grow, which we all do want to do. But if you're taking it because you feel like you don't know enough or because you're an imposter, that's a completely different thing, right?
Absolutely. And it's like, well, when is enough? You know, I don't know. And I have to stop clicking. Yes, I'll join. That's all I know.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Well, Karen, I'm going to bring you on next. But before I do that, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Monica Sawyer. I am the founder of blissfulinvestor.com. And I run a podcast called Real Estate Investing for Women. And my focus is really about creating bliss as you're creating your financial freedom. So that's what I'm all about. And for me, I feel like I've had imposter syndrome my entire life. I think that's true for all of us. And when I first was told about the imposter syndrome, it made me more scared. Like, I thought, oh my gosh, I've got this thing. You know, it's like this big word, right? It's the imposter syndrome. I've got a syndrome. Oh my gosh. And it made me feel bad and like there was something wrong with me. And then as I got older and I started to meet other people and other successful people specifically, what I realized is that everybody I met had this thing. We all had the same disease, right? We were all together in this. We had this syndrome. And what I started to learn is that when I was not feeling like an imposter, I wasn't pushing hard enough. And so it's still a really, really uncomfortable place for me to be. But I do find that for me, if I'm too comfortable, like if I feel like I do know everything, then I'm not learning enough. I'm not pushing enough. So I've gotten really comfortable with being uncomfortable. And so for me, that's what the imposter syndrome really means to me. And I know that it's not the same for everybody, but that's kind of what it means for me. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have anything they want to say about that or comments?
Well, I just was going to say, I'd love, Michelle Bosch, I had invited to the room to speak, and she has to leave in a few minutes. So I'm wondering if we can just have her share about her experience with imposter syndrome.
Absolutely. Yes. Hello, Michelle. Welcome.
Hi, Monique. Hi, Deborah. Hi, Karen. Hi, everyone, ladies. Thank you so much. I just got a ping and I'm like, yeah, I can totally relate to this topic for sure. You know, I think the main thing that I think a lot of women struggle with is the fact that there's a lot of opportunity out there and our courage hasn't really caught up with that opportunity. And I think it stems from, number one, us not seeing ourselves as leaders. Like, we see ourselves as an investor or as, you know, or as a professional or as a lawyer, but we don't see ourselves really as leaders. And as basically as people that have quite a bit, you know, to offer, that bring a different perspective, that more than I would say most of the time bring a lot of integrity and really humanity to the marketplace, what in whatever field you're doing, you know what I mean? That we bring this different perspective, that we are. That there's value in that collaborative spirit, in the in our skill sets, whether that be, you know, strong, you know, I don't know, multifamily or single family or construction or whatever the skill set may be, you know, that is traditionally a role that men have, you know, played, that we don't see that we also are at the same level, or in many cases better, because we have a much more holistic approach to things and we are better listeners. We are, you know, I mean, I could go on and on and on, but I think it stems from us not having the courage, and not having the courage because we don't practice, we don't see ourselves as leaders, and we don't practice leadership. And I think that's where it comes from. For me, I know that in many occasions, you know, I have what I call the itty bitty shitty committee, second guessing, you know, what I want to do, and doubting. And it's kind of like, I don't know if it stems a little bit from fear or where it comes from, but it's recognizing that, my goodness, if I have something to say, I shouldn't be fearful. Nobody's getting burned at the stake anymore. You know, that it might be something that is, you know, programmed in, you know, as women in our DNA, just like collectively, you know, in the collective consciousness for women, but that is not the case anymore. And that I have the, you know, the possibility right now to override that fear and speak up my mind, or if I see something wrong with the industry, or if I see something wrong in the marketplace, to voice that opinion and bring an actual solution. And more than likely, women will bring, you know, a solution, like I said, that like I said earlier, that brings a lot of integrity. And we just basically second guess ourselves. So be undaunted is my thing lately about, you know, about your doubts, your doubters, and just move forward and just hit override on that fear factor whenever it is that you feel it or experience it, and just go. When others say no, just go.
I love it. Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, that was amazing. Michelle, do you have a few more minutes to tell us sort of about, like, how you dealt with it the very first, like in the beginning, when you started to really feel this and be aware of it?
Yeah, of course. I think in the beginning it was for us. So I flip land. I've been flipping land now for the last 18 years. And in the beginning, you know, I took the courses, I listened to the gurus, I, you know, bought, you know, from the late night infomercials and so on and so forth. And I think how it presented for me in the beginning was that everyone was talking about, let's go and invest in houses, you know. And for us, you know, it didn't quite fit for us to start there. And it was hard to basically not do what everyone else was doing, but instead, you know, kind of like be a contrarian and be going in the opposite direction. And it, that requires, in my mind, a lot of courage to not go where the crowd is going, but going in the opposite direction and kind of like, you know, walk to your own beat, or, you know, and so on and so forth. And I think that was at the beginning, that's the very first place where I was like, okay. And then within real estate, and prior to that, it was like, okay, even in college, you know, I remember, you know, graduating from my master's degree, and a lot of my colleagues saying, well, what are you doing, Michelle, after you graduate? Well, I'm gonna, you know, I have a secured a job, you know, at, you know, Motorola and so on and so forth. But afterwards, I am possibly, you know, I'm starting this little side hustle in the real estate business. And and what are you doing in the real estate business? Oh, I'm actually flipping dirt, and I have been doing it in very small scale successfully. But we're thinking that if I can grow that, you know, more than likely, I may not need my corporate job. And everyone was on, you know, of the mindset of like, you know, I'm getting my master's, I'm going to become either the country manager of a big multinational, or I'm going to, you know, ascend through middle management very, very quickly. I'm on my way, you know, to the top within a corporate environment. And there again, you know, doubting yourself, am I doing the right thing by like giving air and breathing life into this little side hustle that I had going on? It's a constant thing that we have to deal with in terms of you know, evolving as people, as individuals, as leaders, is this thing of like, be okay with creating new models, be okay with innovating, be okay with doing things differently than everyone else is doing. It's a muscle that you have to kind of like, you know, exercise every single day and grow and so on and so forth, so that slowly, you know, you kind of normalize that and you stop seeing yourself as an imposter and you start seeing that you actually bring value and that the things that your different perspective and opinion and approach and strategy actually, you know, improves the marketplace. It helps people, you know, and so on and so forth. And I think, but it requires that you build that muscle on a daily basis. Yeah, for sure.
I love that. That was so, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, yes. I can hear you.
Perfect. Good. Yay. I love that, Michelle. It was so well said. Thank you so much for that. And you touched on so many things. I kept wanting to jump in there and say, let's talk more about that. But I know you got to go. So hopefully you'll be able to join us in the future. And before we move.
Yeah.
And before we move on to Karen, I just want to say, ladies, invite some other people. Press the little plus sign down at the bottom, invite some more people, and definitely connect with each other and follow each other so that we can all stay connected. So Karen, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I am great. It's nice to hear your voice again.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm so glad you're here. Yeah. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about who you are, Karen, and then, you know, what does the imposter syndrome mean to you?
You mean besides being a friend of Deborah?
I know, exactly. And a friend of me. And a friend.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, please.
Well, I in 2009, I started a company, a self-directed IRA company really bootstrapped it from nothing. I mean, just $0, the whole single mom thing, had to make it happen during the recession. And I did. So thank God, you know. By the grace of God, it all happened. And it's been a lot because of all you ladies of, you know, the community and how we help each other and support each other, which has been really great. So it's 12 years now. But when you talk about imposter syndrome, that's so funny because that seems to be a buzzword. I'm hearing it a lot lately. But I know when I started my business, I guess I had this image. Remember, guys, the commercial, like, I need roller skates to keep up with you. Remember this?
Or I do.
Woman of the 90s, you know, and there was some TV commercial image or maybe like the boss on 9 to 5. Was that Sigourney Weaver or something like that's what a successful woman was. And there's this image. And then I'm doing really well in the company and it's doing well. We're profitable and, you know, setting records and it's all great. But it's like, I'm not that image. I'm not that, that's not who I am. And I kept thinking like, well, when do I turn into that person? And then I started realizing, well, you know what? A lot of what I thought was successful, what successful people were, was really just narcissists. Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh.
Like, and am I right? You know, cause that's how they're always portrayed. And it's like, I'm not feeling that feeling like, and it's like, what's wrong with me? And it's like, well, I guess nothing. But when you talk about being a leader, I mean, it's not glamorous at all. It's like taking the tough tasks that nobody else wants to, or calling a customer with the rest of the staff. They're saying, I don't want to talk to that person. They're angry, but I pick up the phone and call them. And, you know, you just always taking a leadership role, doing the hard stuff, showing up, being disciplined, you know, and being knowledgeable. And that's how it is in a group with employees I think the imposter syndrome though comes up from having the wrong impression of what a leader is and the wrong mental image and realizing it's just the suit up and show up and have discipline and, you know, and be willing to take responsibility.
You know what? Thank you so much. I love suit up and show up. That's fabulous. And, you know, I actually had to have several, way too many uncomfortable conversations yesterday. And I was thinking about it at the end of the day. And, you have to be empathetic and be firm and, you know, understand that these conversations have to happen because the issues at hand have to be dealt with. And I think sometimes, you know, we forget that part of leadership is just the suit up, show up, courage to continue, comfort in the uncomfortable, right? I mean, it's all of that. And
totally.
We still think we're imposters.
But I mean, that's when it's real, is when you're, when the rubber meets the road and you're the one that takes charge and makes something happen. And, you know, and Monique's is going to be speaking at OC Rhea coming up, and Monique, I've known you for a long time, but I don't really know you like hanging out with you, and I wish it wasn't COVID.
We need to change that.
Yeah, let's change that, because you know there's just so many awesome things about you, and I got to tell you, I had someone call me the other day, by the way, and that you were speaking, and oh my gosh, and how much they loved you, and how do I get in, and they were willing to pay $199 to hear you speak. It's like, no, it's free. You know, and she was so excited. So I just want to share that with you. But I guess I've hung out most with Deborah of anybody. It's like, that's, you know, I know you the best, but
I've hung out with Monique and she's totally fun. So I want
to share.
We need to have a real estate babes hangout. In person. Well, yeah,
absolutely.
In an island somewhere. I'm down. But I mean, it's for so I really know Deborah's leadership style, which is all about, you know, doing the hard thing, doing the tough thing. And if you're out there making the hard decisions and making the hard phone calls and having the, what do they call it, difficult conversations, then you know you're a leader. You're not an imposter. You're doing it. You're being a leader.
Thank you. Thank you for the reminder. I'm going to use show up and suit up all the time now.
Yeah. I mean, it's just how, I mean, isn't that that's the goal to success, is like be the person who actually answers their phone, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's so great about what you just said too, Karen, is that the more you do it, right, the more you show up, at least until you get to that, you know, then there's a new uncomfortable, like a next level. But once you're in it, then you stop feeling like the imposter, right, after a while, because you've just showed up, and then you're like, oh, okay, this is my suit, right? Like this is my chair, this
Absolutely.
Is my seat, I belong here. And then, you know, and then you grow, and then there's another level, and you're like, oh my god, what am I doing here? But
but I think it was also too, just like when I changed my idea of what a successful woman was, that it, you know, it wasn't Sigourney Weaver, right? She ends up losing in the end in that movie, I believe. She didn't come out the winner. But I mean, like what does a successful woman look like, and what's the persona of that person? And I just changed my mind. It's like it's each and every one of us in our own unique ways.
Yeah.
And I really like what Michelle had to say too, super articulate. But yeah, you know, it's each of us creating our own definition of that.
You know, you're reminding me of something. I sent out an email today because I had a mentor who celebrated March 4th. You know, he put it in my mind that it's the only day of the year that is also a sentence, March 4th, right? We're supposed to march forth in our life today. And it was brought to my attention. There's a TED talk calling Get Comfortable with Being Uncomfortable. And it's this woman, she's an author, a comedian, into technology and activism. Her name is Lou V. Jones. And she talks about marching forth in your life, about getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. And one of the things that she said is walking through the world with your light on isn't always easy. You'll face critics, fears, and your own self-doubt, but it's worth the risk. And I think that self-doubt is what that imposter syndrome is about, you know? And the fact of the matter is we do have to face critics, and we have to face our fears as well as others, you know? And so we're managing a lot of things right there. But here it is, we get to shine our light, and it's worth the risk, because as we shine our light and go forward as women in the world, we allow others to shine their light too. And I just love how that works that way, you know?
That's awesome. And this whole conversation is so delicious. And I love this March 4th idea. And I also love what Karen was saying about the feminine model, which a lot of us were taught that Sigourney Weaver, that's not a feminine model of leadership. That's a masculine model of leadership. That on a woman is really ugly and like it doesn't work. And even as a feminine is not competition, it's not tearing others down. It is building them up. It's co-elevation that we talked about last week. It's working together. It's intuitive. It's flowing. It's, you know, and it's authentic. That's the feminine model. And when you show up that way, then that, you know, that's the beautiful thing.
And I think what's also really interesting is that, kind of like what Michelle was saying, is that she kind of went the opposite way of the crowd, right? She was innovating in her own life, and she was kind of innovating with this business. And I think all of us, you know, here on this panel have been innovators in our own lives. And that's kind of the definition of, you know, creating something completely new and not really having guidance, which of course kind of leads us to feeling like an imposter because we don't know what we're doing, kind of by definition, right? But the biggest progress in the world has started that way, right? And so in order, it feels to me like if in order to create that level of success and to create that level of fulfillment, the imposter syndrome is almost necessary. What do you guys think?
You mean like it's just part of the growth process? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. It's just part of the process. It's part of what we kind of, you know, we've given this name to this thing, but it's kind of what we do when we're creating business and when we're being leaders.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my business was just making it up as, you know, on the fly. And because, you know, I had to establish all sorts of things like, well, what are we going to call this? And what are we going to do in this situation? Yeah, there was a lot of just inventing things at the beginning, and now we have systems, but you're right, it was just making it up.
Right, and when we're making it up, right, we don't know what we're doing, so it seems really clear that we would feel like imposters in those moments, and for a while, right, until we settle. Monique, you were going to say something too.
In the book, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, he talks about upper limit challenges, right? We get to this new level in our lives, or we're trying to get to a new level in our lives, and our ego is comfortable at a certain level of success only, at a certain level of happiness, at a certain level of health, at a certain level of love and stability. And then when we start to go beyond that level that our ego is comfortable with, then we start to doubt, we start to self-sabotage, we start to do these things that, you know, result in these upper limit problems. And I think the imposter syndrome is definitely a part of that. So it is a natural growth, like a natural byproduct of growth and up leveling and stretching. And I think that one of the things that has helped me most is when I am, so I really feel like my mission to help 1 million women create financial freedom, that's a mission that was divinely inspired. I feel like I'm the steward of a business owned by God. And for me, when I can switch into, all right, I'm just going to be in servant mode here. This is not about me. This is about serving and helping and just trying to do like the action that I'm feeling like divinely guided towards, then that really helps me get out of imposter syndrome, because imposter syndrome is ego. And then when I get out of ego, it's like, it's not even about me. I'm just going to show up. And then it's my job to show up, and the results are God's job. Then that's how I get out of imposter syndrome. And that's how it's helped me to just continue to stretch and up level. And, you know, sometimes things work, sometimes they don't, but they definitely work a lot better when I can get into that mode and just into service and then thinking about others.
Mic drop.
Absolutely. Okay. And can you name that book again? Because I need to read it.
The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. It is a genius book.
Thank you. Thank you.
Monique, thank you so much for talking a little bit about how you got past imposter syndrome, right? That was amazing, being in service and what that means to you and how that sort of helped to alleviate that feeling. Does anybody else want to talk about how they've kind of dealt with imposter syndrome or gotten past it?
Well, I'll speak a little bit, and it's not as sophisticated as Monique's or Michelle's, but But, you know, this is how I deal with it. You know, I consider myself a creator. I like to create things. And I think I do that in my work, in my real estate. You know, when I'm flipping, it's like seeing something and creating it and imagining things better. And when I'm, you know, overwhelmed or when I feel like I don't know what I'm doing, I say something to myself that makes me laugh. And that is, I'm building the plane while I'm flying it. And it makes me laugh and it brings me back to the place of this is new. It's all new for me and it's all okay. You know, I'm going to make mistakes. People are going to make mistakes, but I'm moving forward, you know, and I'm showing up and I'm, you know, stepping out. And so, you know, I'm learning along the way. And I guess that's what that phrase reminds me of. But for me, that's, you know, how I just venture through, you know, situations and go, all right, well, let's learn through it. And that's it.
I love that. And what I also love is that you brought sort of another strategy to the table, which is humor. So Monique brought faith and Deborah brought humor. And I think those are two really, really big pieces on how we get through a lot of our stuff, right? So not just imposter syndrome, but also how we build our businesses, how we build our communities, and how we get through many of the challenges in our lives, right?
What I also love about what Deborah just said is, you know, in addition to the, that it's funny, but you're allowing yourself to be a beginner in this, right? When you're doing something new, you're giving yourself some grace and you're giving yourself just, it doesn't have to be done perfectly. You're building it. You're learning something new. And I love that. And I think that helps ease it too. Not trying to be perfect. So much of my issues are when I'm like, I feel like I need to be perfect, look perfect, which is not even possible.
Absolutely. I love that. Thank you, Monique. And then Karen, did you have something you wanted to share about sort of how you've dealt with imposter syndrome in your life?
I just wake up every day, you know, and just do my best. if I feel that way, I just kind of let it go. But it's just, you know, it's not something that really like weighs on my mind too much, because like all of us, we're just too busy making it happen. But, or somebody will say like, oh, you know, you're successful. You must be so proud of yourself, or, you know, there's some image there. And it's like, yeah, it may not be what you think it is, or it may not be as glamorous as you think it is just to work your buns off. You know, it's not like all swimming pools movie stars. So if that's what some, and again, it's about expectations. If that's someone's expectation about being successful, it doesn't look like that. It looks like a lot of, like Deborah says, reading and blood, sweat, and tears.
Karen, I love what you've said. You brought this up a couple of times about how it's really not glamorous. And I think that's such a great point to really highlight, because so many people think that if you're a leader, if you're successful, that it's glamorous, you're living this glamorous life. But it's not. It's getting your hands dirty. It's picking up the shovel and digging in the dirt, right? And making things happen. So thanks so much for emphasizing that a few different times.
Well, you're right, but I do have an idea. What we should all do, all of us that are on the call right now, let's go rent a private jet and get our picture taken in front of it, okay?
Oh, yes!
And then we can prove. That will prove that we're successful.
Oh, yeah. Great idea.
Imposter syndrome, out the window.
Right. And it's ladies only.
So yeah,
see
let's
you at LAX, man.
Let's all sure. Pretend we have a jet so that we look like we're so we don't have imposter syndrome.
And we'll take turns stepping off of it and getting our picture taken.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, Lisa, you've been on this stage for a little.
If we can hire like a makeup and hair team, so that makes us also look like we're always made up.
You know what I think we should do is actually do a full-on spa day. Like spa day that ends up with us all like standing in front of this plane and getting off the plane and stuff. That would be fun.
I think, Monique, we found our retreat. This is our boss babe hangout right now.
I'm down for it.
Absolutely.
So funny. So funny. So thank you so much for that, ladies. And then Lisa, you've been on the stage. I'm not sure if you can talk now, but did you want to share a little bit about your feelings about the imposter syndrome, how you deal with it, or maybe you have some questions for some of the ladies?
Imposter syndrome. First of all, I think it's a unique thing that only women face for whatever reason. I think maybe some men do, but it seems to be a uniquely female struggle. My take on it, I guess, comes from my bigger underlying struggle being the not good enough, and imposter syndrome is just a corollary of that. I don't really have any really awesome, fabulous tips as far as how to deal with it. It's just a kind of a, you know, one foot in front of the other. But it is real in the sense of it comes in when you're like, why should anybody be paying me to do this? You know, or why am I, you know, so it's like I said, I don't really have any fabulous tips for dealing with it. It's just kind of part of the landscape.
Nice. Thank you, Lisa. Does anybody want to share something with her? Okay, great. So
I'll tell you what, I'll jump in. I'd like to hear Lisa's story.
Sorry, my story I missed the first like half an hour of this chat. So,
How did you, in what way? Just in being successful.
I had a really lucrative, I managed nightclubs and restaurants and festivals for a long time. I was really good at it. I did multi-concept, multi-million dollar nightclubs in New York City, Los Angeles, Miami, a little bit of Vegas. Since COVID happened, that has been kind of unavailable. So I've been doing bookkeeping and accounting for cannabis companies, and I actually have been doing a lot better in the last year doing that. So it's been kind of a really interesting and unexpected turn of events from COVID, and you know, it's 2021 now, but I never would have, you know, a year ago I was doing something, my life looked completely different than it looks right now. So I guess kind of when it comes to success is, you know, kind of defining what success looks like for you, because everybody's definition of success is going to be different. But also having a lot of flexibility, because my friends and my colleagues that are still kind of defining themselves as nightclub managers are still out of work, and you know, dealing with all of the financial anxiety and existential crisis that goes along with that. So you kind of have to be a little detached from and have a not wrap your identity up in what you do, if that makes sense.
It really does to me. I mean, you know, that's funny too, because then I'm in a Vistage group, and we talk about like wrapping your identity up in what you do. And then when you, for example, go to retire, and then you like you sell your business or whatever, and you go into the next level, if you are your job or that thing, then who are you when you're not doing that anymore?
I mean, yeah, retirees struggle with it. The other area is professional athletes. Have a really big struggle with it, or not even professional, but people that are very athletic and define themselves based on, you know, I'm a basketball player, or like Tiger Woods, I'm a golfer. Well, what is he going to do now? You know? And it can be a real mental challenge if you are really stuck on that as a defining thing, and you have to broaden the way that you see yourself in the world, and not get, you know, it's also like attachment and detachment too. Like if you're really attached to it, and that then when you don't have it anymore, it can be really difficult. And so kind of trying to detach your self-worth from and your self-identity from what you do and from who you are as what you do, there's no real easy answers to that either. But that's been really helpful for me, if, you know, because if I had sat around and said, well, I'm a restaurant manager, it would have been a lot harder.
Well,
that is such an amazing point, Lisa. I resonate a lot with that. So a lot of, you know, I was an attorney for almost a decade. And after having
Monique, can I interrupt for just a second? Patricia, would you mind putting yourself on mute for just a moment? We're hearing a lot of background noise. Thank you. Go ahead, Monique.
I was just going to say that I was completely, completely miserable as an attorney, but my identity was so wrapped up with being a lawyer. You know, after having several, you know, law school plus practice, and then, but being able to disengage that identity really helped, and being able to switch. So that's a really good point in terms of identity and helping. On the flip side, though, when I had an identity as a syndicator, which I, you know, even before I syndicated, I just felt like, oh, I'm a real estate syndicator. That was my identity. I had a lot less friction in terms of accomplishing what I did. And so I think sometimes when you can, you take on the identity of what you're trying to do and you really own it at an identity level, then you're not going to feel the imposter syndrome. When you do feel it, it's because your inner identity is not a match to your outer identity, to what you're trying to do. And so that disconnect will either help you or will hurt you either way. That's what I've found.
And, you know, it's so interesting because Deborah was mentioning that she's seen a lot of this lately out there, right? And I think, Lisa, what you talked about is really so much about what it is that's happening, is that so many of us have had to pivot from how we identified ourselves, right, what businesses we were running, to what's going to work now. And so, again, we're talking about what Michelle talked about was sort of innovation or doing something different. And then we don't necessarily have the guidance or the experience behind us to give us the confidence to do the things that we need to do. So I think, Deborah, that's why we're seeing so much of this out there. Okay, so Patricia, would you like to tell us a little bit about who you are and if you've got any questions or anything to say about the imposter syndrome?
Hi, I apologize. I'm really new to Clubhouse, but I'm a nurse attorney and creating my space in the billionaire real estate investor space. And the only thing I was going to add about the imposter syndrome, I think it also, if you work on your confidence and you recognize who you are and recognize the value of your presence whenever you're in a room, you may not be the smartest, but you certainly are not the dumbest. But recognizing the value in what you have in order to be present in the space that you're in. And if you realize that, I think that certainly helps with imposter syndrome.
Thank you so much. I love, Patricia, this thing about really being present. Monique and Deborah, I'd love you to chime in on this too, but this whole idea of being really present in the moment of what you're doing, for me, I find like that's the biggest strategy that I've used also for getting past the imposter syndrome, is not really thinking about who I am, what people are seeing, what I'm going to produce, but really being in the moment of doing that thing that I'm doing. And no matter what's happening out there around me, I can do that thing and not feel like an imposter if I'm fully present. Do you ladies find that also?
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. I think imposter syndrome is when you start thinking about what other people will think of you. You're not at all in the present moment. You're really in you're thinking about outside things, or you're thinking about the future where you might fail, or you're thinking about, you know, but it's not about being present at all. Somebody told me this quote recently, do what you're doing. So right. Whatever you're doing, just be there doing it mindfully. And that really does help.
Yeah.
So I agree. And I feel like when I'm present and I can be completely in my heart and my head space at the same time. So I'm emotionally intelligent, Right? I feel like, you know, I'm not worried about anything else, right?
So yeah. Oh, I love that. I love, Patricia, that you brought that to the table. Thank you so much. Yay. Okay, so we've only got about 10 more minutes. I'd like to make sure that we stay on time. A couple of things I want to say is we're going to be bringing some questions up to the stage, if anybody has any. But please, everybody follow each other so we can stay in touch. And I just want to let everybody know that we are doing the Billionaire Real Estate Investor Babes Clubhouse Room every Thursday at noon. So please put that on your calendar so you can join us. And now I just want to ask, does anybody else in the room have some questions that they'd like to bring to the stage? Just raise your hand. And you can do that. There's a little icon at the bottom that has a hand on it. You can just raise your hand.
You know, while they're raising their hands and thinking about their questions, I want to just say what a good moderator you are. You are so in your gifting, girl.
Thank you so much.
Yes, you are.
Yay!
You make this really easy, sweetheart. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. You guys make it really, really easy. So thank you. That's awesome. You made my day, Deborah. People are like thinking about raising their hands. This is another thing that I have to say, like, from my strategy about dealing with imposter syndrome is hanging out with people like Deborah and Monique. Like, your community will really help you to see your genius. And you know, all of us are confident, powerful women, and we look inside of ourselves for our own motivation, inspiration, confidence, you know, esteem building, all of that stuff. But it certainly does not help when you've got a lot of people around you patting you on the back, telling you you're amazing, and having confidence in your capacity to achieve what you want to achieve or create what you want to create. So I think so much of dealing with imposter syndrome, it's so much of it comes from the inside and some of the strategies we've talked about, but also just hanging out with really cool people that have your back, right? Which is what this community is all about, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yay.
I love that. I wanted to share one last strategy that I got from Marie Forleo for imposter syndrome, which I love. So, well, she shared two, but one of which was have like a community of people that you can share, you can talk about this with when you are feeling like, oh my gosh, I don't, you know, I'm feeling like an imposter. And then they're going to say, of course you've got this, right? Or they can share too that they've felt the same way, or confident and a confidant and cheerleader. Just as the other strategy is that when you're feeling like an imposter syndrome, you look in the mirror and you say to yourself, you say, I, and then you say your name. And so you say your name. So I look in the mirror and I say, I'm Monique fucking Holm, and I've got this. So
I love it. Say,
I'm Monica fucking Sawyer, and I've got this. You hold yourself in the mirror, and then you go out and you slay, right? That's how it's done.
So basically what you're saying is that we all adopt the same middle name?
That's right. That's right. You know, the other thing that I think, I love this, the whole looking in the mirror thing, Monique. So one of the strategies that I've had is like, you know, like Deborah just gave me this really great compliment. Thank you. And she made me giggle. But in a moment where I might be thinking, oh my gosh, am I doing this right? What I can do is see Deborah, then become Deborah and look at myself and see myself through Deborah's eyes in that situation, right? So if you have situations and specifically where you're feeling like, oh my gosh, am I doing this? Because this is like my third Clubhouse. I am such an amateur at this. So I'm constantly feeling like an imposter around this, right? So now I've got sort of the affirmation from other people that this is working. And when I'm having those doubts, certainly I can boost myself up and say, I've got this, but I can also be Deborah and say, you've got this, right? Like look at myself through her eyes, right?
I love it. And just in case you need a little more, I'll just look at you through my eyes and go, you got this.
Monica fucking Sawyer, you've got this.
You are Monica fucking
Exactly. Thank you, ladies.
Oh my God.
So awesome. Well, we've got just a couple more minutes. Does anybody have any parting words they'd like to say?
If I may, I just wanted to say that Monique is absolutely, absolutely amazing. I'm in one of her programs, and I have to tell you that what she's saying now is the exact same thing that's replicated in her program. And so many of us women who she calls goddesses, they are, I mean, a lot of us are sort of like trying to find our way, and she is such a great motivator and such an encourager. And it's really just so, it's so extraordinary. And even just to be here in this platform, it's like really amazing. And she's amazing. And Deborah, I've heard you amazing. And Monica, I mean, I think it's absolutely phenomenal, the job that you're doing as well.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I love you, goddess. Thank you.
Okay, we're out of time. I can't believe it. We've been together for an hour. We'll do this again, same time, same platform next week. Please join us. In the meantime, everybody, please follow each other. Let's stay in touch. And we will see you next time. Bye, everybody.
And make sure you march 4th today, guys.
March 4th, yes. And be your very best selves.
Didn't you love that conversation, ladies? I had so much fun. I'm feeling so uplifted. So once again, happy International Women's Day. Go have an amazing day. Celebrate how extraordinary you are. And as we said, March 4th on March 8th. Yay! And also, you know, ladies, we do this, like I mentioned in the call, we do this every week. So if you want to come join us and have a live conversation on topics for women real estate investors, definitely join us, join the community. So you can find us on Clubhouse and basically go on there, look for me, Monica Sawyer, M-O-N-E-E-K-A Sawyer, and follow me. And then whenever I hold a Clubhouse, which is every week on Thursdays at noon Pacific time, I can ping you, or at least you'll be notified that I'm doing that and you guys can join the conversation. So definitely go do that. And if there are particular conversations that you want to have, topics that you really want to talk about, please just contact me through blissfulinvestor.com and let me know what you want to talk about so we can have really relevant conversations for the community. Okay? Awesome. Yay. Have a great day and celebrate being an amazing woman. And always remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, and create the life your heart deeply desires. I'll see you soon. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to find out more about how to become a blissful millionaire, go to blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.